I've been really spending a lot of time over the lesson this week, and this idea about worrying, the anxiety that exists, the improbable nature of man to trust in God. You see, I think the problem is not just that we have a worry problem, but we have a lack of faith problem. One of our problems is that we don't tend to turn to God the way we should. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll put on it." You know, those things sound sort of trivial when we look at some of the things. Our prayer list was full of prayer needs this morning. But if there's a church anywhere on the face of the earth that's learned to believe in prayer, this church has. We've seen God do some powerful and amazing things as a result of multiplied prayer. Now, I'm not saying that every time that we pray that we understand or that the answer comes the way that we want to, but I'm telling you, in the last year, I have seen God's hand at work time after time after time again. When I would be from the human standpoint, there's no way this one's going to survive, or there's no way this is going to work out. And that's a lack of faith on my part. And I want you, as we look at the lesson today, to look at two things. Number one, the anxiety, the worry, what worrying about your life is going to do, and how we need to stop worrying so much about our life, and we need to start trusting God more. I don't know how this is going to work out, but brethren, I know who's going to work it out. I don't have to know the final answer, I just have to know who's writing the story. And God is the creator of all. So what are you worried about? I did a little research this week and looked on several things. I looked at a list of 10 most worried things, 20 most worried things people worry about, another list of 50 things people worried about, another list of 100 people who worried about. I finally decided I was worrying about too much about worrying. But here's some things that came up a lot. A lot of people are worried about work issues. Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to make it through the probation period? Am I going to make my sales quota? Am I going to get a raise? Am I not going to get a raise? Are they going to cut my hours? And we spend a lot of time worrying rather than working. But we spend a lot of time saying, what am I going to do if this happens? What am I going to do if that happens? And that's kind of common to the human existence, at least according to the studies that I looked at. One of the second most prevalent things was worrying about family. I don't know if you've looked at your family lately or not, but if you want to worry, you can find something to worry about. We can worry about those who are fixing to have babies and what are they going to do with them. We can look at those who have children and how are we going to protect them and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can look at our spouse and say, does he love me still? Does she still care about me? Am I still what I was when we got married? Am I raising my kids right? Is the world going to be a better place because I'm a better parent? And we can begin to obsess and just stick on these family issues to where we don't have time for the family because we're spending all our time worrying about the family. There are a lot of people today who are worried about appearances and what I look like and what does the world think and did I lose this much weight and percentage of body fat and how many pounds and how many mirrors and how the makeup industry, the cosmetic industry is one of the biggest, fastest growing industries in the United States and has been for some time. People worry about mental health issues. What's wrong with me? The anxiety that we're not supposed to have. Sometimes those things that are chemical in nature and that they need to be treated. But whatever the problem is, it needs to be treated by faith to know that the one who promised to go through the valley of the shadow of death actually will go through the valley of the shadow of death and that you'll never be left alone unless you leave him. We live in a world where financial issues are problems and people are worried about am I going to be able to pay my mortgage? Am I going to lose it? Is the interest rate going to go up? Is it going to go down? Credit cards have people in a death hold and you can't breathe because you're under the burden of debt and you're worried about savings or if you used to have one, if you don't have one. Worried about the future, financial, retirement, all of these things we worry about. And it doesn't seem like there's a place where we learn to just trust in God. We worry about our health, about our diet, about our energy, about getting old, about dying. When you look at all these things, and like I said, the list can go up to 100. Maybe 1,000 things. When we let those consume our lives, we are displaying a lack of faith in God Almighty. Please notice the title that I chose to use there, God Almighty, the one who has the power above all, the omnipotent God. The one who can meet our needs and overcome our obstacles. You say, well, he doesn't do it the way I want him to. Well, maybe the way you want him to is wrong. We need to submit ourselves unto him where we can do the things that he wants us to do. But until we get to a place where we believe that God, where we trust God, where we believe that he is able to keep what we've committed against that day, until we have faith that that works in our everyday and that lasts through a lifetime, we'll never be able to stop the fear. We'll be controlled by fear. We need to be able to say with Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to learn to believe that we have the power at our fingertips, that if we will submit ourselves to him, he's promised to be faithful and true. He's promised us that he will be there for us, that we don't ever have to walk alone. Paul said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has been flourished again. Though you surely did care, you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere with all in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at the context, if you will, of that passage. Paul's writing the church at Philippi. He said, I know that you haven't been able to help out lately. I know that the things that you've done in the past that you couldn't do. And I'm not writing because I'm hungry or I want you to do something. He said, you're able to do more, but you lacked an opportunity before, and I'm not upset about that. I have learned to trust in God. I have learned that I can do all things. I've learned to be in need. I've learned to have a lot. I've learned to be abased. I've learned to be empty. I've learned to be full. I've learned how to survive because my trust is in God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let me ask you, if you're worried about your house payment, if you're worried about your health, have you taken it to God in prayer? Have you left it at his feet as the request of a child to a parent? And do you believe that all things are possible through him who loved us and gave his son for us? When we're talking about all things that Christ does for us, we need to understand that we never have to be alone. I love that song, Where No One Stands Alone. John chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus is pretty specific when he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And that's a pretty powerful statement, for he says one of our faith problems is that we're not abiding in him. We're not living in him. We're not living right. We're not doing right. We're not practicing the scripture in our daily lives. He said you have to abide in me. You have to be a part of me. You have to be just as the branch attached to the vine. You can't be over here doing your own thing and just come by the vine once in a while. You've got to live in Christ. By the way, I think we'd solve a lot of problems that we wouldn't even have to worry about in the first place if we'd live right. If we'd do right and do what we're supposed to do. But we think, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to help me? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 4, he said, we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Underline, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. That's an important concept. We cannot do this alone. But to think anything as being from our, to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. You can't live apart with God and get your supply from him. You can't leave him behind and then bring him into your everyday. You can't pretend that you know him and not have him in your everyday existence. In your prayer life, in your belief life, in your behavior life, in your hope for life to come. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I have to be in Christ for him to strengthen me. I don't need to worry about some things because I can't handle them, because I can't handle some things. I don't need to worry about things because Christ lives in me. Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live. Let me ask you to ask yourself this question. What's the biggest struggle in your life right now? It'll be different for every one of us. I don't shout out an answer or anything. I just want you to deal with this on your own. What's the biggest struggle in my life? How are you letting God work in that problem? Are you holding on to it and saying, I've got this, I'll take care of this, I'll work it out some kind of way, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. let go and let God be God. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, because He loved me and He gave Himself for me. So the question is, if you want to do all things through Christ, how strong is your faith? Can you do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I think one of the problems that we have in life is that we focus too much on ourselves and our problems rather than focusing on God. Outside of this hour, the one before, the one tonight, and the one on Wednesday night, how much of your day, how much of your week, how much of your time are you going to spend focusing on God? Somebody says, well, I've got a job. Well, do it as God's servant. I've got family. Needs to be blessed. Every moment of your family interaction needs to be blessed in God. Bring up a child in the way he should go. That's God's way. In James chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, James starts off by saying, therefore submit to God. And that's a problem that a lot of us have in life, in our journey of faith, is that we've never submitted to Him. We've never really let Him take control. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. There's some things that we need to stay away from. We need to not be involved in. We need not to not do. Verse 8, draw near to God. So I want you to look at that. He says, submit to God, draw near to God. The advantage is He will draw near to you. You come to Him, He'll come closer to you. Cleanse your hands, O you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You do that by submitting to God, by letting God be the focus of your life, of your decisions, of your behavior. One of my favorite passages in the book of Exodus is Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. And when I say this is one of my favorite, I also want you to know it's one of the hardest ones for me to observe in my own life. Moses is talking to the people. Anxiety is at hand. And he says what seems to be the most improbable of all commands. The enemy's coming. There's a sea in front of us. We're trapped. And he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. It's hard to stand still and watch God do His work. Because I want to jump in there and I want to do something and I want to fix it all by myself. And you know, sometimes when I try to fix it, I gum it up and I make it worse. I'm not a mechanic. I've messed up my car before because I tried to fix it by myself instead of finding somebody who knew what was going on. There are a lot of things that I'm not, that I can't do, that my efforts have gone the wrong way because I didn't go to the right person. The Bible says, Moses said, that we need to stand still sometimes and let God be God and let God work it out and see the salvation of the Lord that He's going to accomplish. Sometimes we don't have enough faith to stand still. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. This is the first and great commandment. How much do you love the Lord? How much is He the focus of your life? From time to time, as we're out with different people and we're getting lunch or something, going to McDonald's, whatever it is, the venue of the day, it's not McDonald's, but wherever we go, people will look at me and say, are you going to pray? Now, I always think it's because they think I'm a professional prayer, that I can do better than anybody else. It's not that I'm a professional prayer, but I would to God that every one of us, every time we sat down, that somebody, before we put a spoon to our mouth, would say, we need to give thanks to God. We have these blessings because God Almighty has blessed us. We need to put our attention where it should be. We need to love Him with all our heart and soul and mind. Every part of my being and fiber ought to focus on God. Paul said when he wrote Romans, the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That seems to bring out a strong contrast to me. There's a strong message there. Sometimes the reason I'm not seeking God is because I'm not close to God. Because I put God out of my life instead of into my life. Because I'm too fleshly, I'm too earthly, I'm too comfortable in this world. And as long as I'm so comfortable in this world with this world's rules, I'll never submit to God. I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to be afraid. I'm going to have problems in life. I need somebody bigger than my problems, and that is God, the Creator of the universe. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. And this is a passage of hope, people. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What's your focus this morning? What's your focus in life? Are you focusing on the problems? Or are you focusing on God? What do you believe about God? Do you believe that he was an Old Testament character and a biblical character, and at the end of the book of Revelation they folded him up and put him in a box and they're going to bring him out on Judgment Day again? Is my focus on God? Is my faith in God? Is there anything too hard for God? Why do we worry so much? We worry so much because we have little faith. In fact, in our reading this morning, that's exactly what we read when Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." And so now the tough part. We got to face our fear. And for some of us, there's a lot of fear to face. There are consequences to pay. A number of years ago, when I was in the Ukraine, we were working with several churches over there. There was a church member, a fairly young convert, because the church was young. And the young preacher asked me and those of us with us if we would come and have prayer for this certain lady in the congregation. And because I wanted to know what we were praying for, I asked, What's the issue? What are we praying about? He looked at me and said, "She's going to jail today." And so I said, "What's she going to jail for?" She was going to jail for picking flowers out of the public park. My American brain just couldn't wrap around that. My Russian counterpart, my Ukrainian counterpart, said that they were there for everybody to enjoy. She had no right to take them. They were not her flowers. I couldn't wrap my mind around that, but I did wrap my mind around the fact that she's got a problem, she's going to jail, but we need to pray for her that she be strong. We need to trust that we've got a God who can take you through prison for picking flowers. I don't know what your problems are, but I know that God is stronger than your problems, and we have to face our fear. James chapter 4 and verse 7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." Then if you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed by pure water. Let us hold fast confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." The daddy that stands in the deep or swims in the deep end of the swimming pool and tells the child, "Jump in, I'll catch you, I won't let you drown." As far as I know, there's never been a child drowned from daddy trying to catch him. Our mama. The one who says, "I'll stand by you on this bicycle, I'll ride with you for a year in your car when you get your learner's permit," and that could be heart dangerous. I think there's a medical condition, I'm not sure what it's called, cardiac automobilitis, I guess. There are things that we fear that aren't funny. There are broken promises and lies and deception that causes those to lose faith and to fear. But I want to take you to a different place. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus made a very strong statement when he says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body and cannot kill the soul." Death isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. Missing heaven is. Surgery is not the worst outcome. Sometimes it'll save your life. Most times it'll save your life, I'm hoping. We can look at all of the things to fear. You say, "Well, it's hard to trust in God. It's hard." Listen, you have appendicitis. You go into the hospital. They say that you need surgery. Most likely they're going to pick a surgeon you've never met your appendix out before. And you're going to say, "Put me with gas that could kill me and then cut me open and take part of me out and sew me back up." Why is it so hard to believe in a God who's already conquered death, who's already come out of a grave, who's already returned to heaven, and says, "I'm coming back and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, you there you may be also"? It's a misplaced faith. It's a misplaced trust. Jesus says, "Fear the one who can kill the body and the soul, not one who just do the physical." But we got to face fear. And so when they say you need surgery, you go in. And I'm telling you, some of us need spiritual surgery to increase our faith. Acts 20 and verse 4, the apostle says, "None of these things do I count dear to me, nor do I count my life as dear to myself." All the physical things are not the important things. Sometimes we have our values askew. We have them in the wrong place. Revelation 2 and verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. There are things to be afraid of, but are we taking it into our own hands, or are we taking it to the Lord for Him to take us through? 1 Peter chapter 3, a little bit longer reading there. Who is he that will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Why do we let faith take over? If you're going to suffer, let it be for doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. If you're going to have problems, let it be because I stood up. You need to cast your care on Him. If you truly trust Him, if you truly believe in Him, then you've got to learn to lean on Him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due care, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. When's the last time you truly put your cares on Jesus? When you truly trusted God to take us through? Now please don't misunderstand me. I have not said anything to indicate that we don't have responsibility and a part to do our part. I'm just saying don't depend on yourself because you're going to fail sometimes. Put your faith in Him who loves you and died for you. Matthew 6 is a parallel passage to the one we began with. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than the body and is more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Where's your faith? I see your fear. You can see the fear in others around you. I see the worrying. Where's the faith? I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 27. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So why do we worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, about anything? When I was a little kid, there was a little song we used to sing. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And I believe it. This morning, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ as one who's never obeyed the gospel, you believe that Jesus is God's Son, you're willing to repent of sins and confess His name. You want to be born again of the water and the Spirit, baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away and be raised to walk in newness of life. Live faithful for Him. There's no better time than now. If you've wandered away and need to come home, we'll pray with you and for you. God will bless you and bring you home. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?